Good evening. Like I said this morning, I wasn't going in depth with heaven because preaching on it this evening. When I was a kid, I used to stare up into the sky on a very beautiful day. When the sky was blue, you had clouds passing by. And I remember thinking and wondering what heaven was like, because you get out of service after the preacher talked about heaven, and you just wonder as a child. Your imagination could run wild. And even as an adult, your imagination is still there. You can try to imagine all day long what heaven will be like, but nothing can compare to what heaven will be like. It will be beyond beautiful. I remember back in West Virginia, there was a place called Hawk's Nest, and I love nature. And you would walk out this trail, and it would lead to this rock cliff, and when you got to the rock cliff, now, I didn't get close to it. My feet would not let me. I would start shaking violently if I got close. But I remember just looking out across the mountains and seeing the light, seeing the sun, and it was a beautiful sight. And thinking about, you know, of course, West Virginia has the John Denver song, Almost Heaven, West Virginia, right? But once again, we see that nothing on this earth, not even the most beautiful piece of nature that you have ever seen in your life, can compare. But sadly, many want to go to heaven, and that's a good thing. But when they are told, this is how you get to heaven, that's when that desire stops. And so this evening, we're going to talk about what Scripture says about heaven. And we're going to talk about the ones who will be going to heaven. And so with my first point here, what does Scripture say? Well, we start with our main text, and the text we talked about this morning, Revelation 21:4. We see, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Once again, can you imagine never having sorrow? Can you imagine there being no more death? Can you imagine there never being any pain again? And like I said this morning, our minds can't comprehend that. I thought about it one day. I thought about, what if I woke up tomorrow morning and I never felt pain again? That would be wonderful. What if I woke up tomorrow morning and I never had to face sorrow, depression ever again? It'd be wonderful. Once again, just from this snippet we are given, it sounds amazing already. Do we need any more details about what heaven will be like? We shouldn't. But we are given snippets. When we look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16, we see that the writer here is talking about those who of old who have already passed. And so, starting in verse 13 here, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better place, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. When we look at Abraham, Moses, all the ones of old, we see they were called and we see how great their faith was. Abraham, God came to him and said, I want you to pack up and leave from this place. And I want you to go, for I have a better place for you. Now, Abraham would have never seen what came from that promise God made him, because he would die and he would go be with his father. But we see that They were looking for a better place. And to have such great faith to go and do as God has said and to go and follow him, they understood that God had something far better prepared for them than what they had in their current situation. This place, this heavenly country, would be far better than anything they could imagine. Far better. And that's the hope that we as Christians, and what the writer here is writing to the Hebrews, because we know with the Hebrews, they would have left the truth. They would have rejected Christ and went back under the old law. Why? When we look at the letter of Hebrews, it's comparing Christ. It's Christ versus the old ways, the old law. Which one's better? Well, Christ, obviously. Christ, who was the Son of God. Christ, it is only through Christ in which we can have our sins washed away and that we could obtain eternal life. And so when we look here, the home that is promised them, they realized, hey, we are pilgrims. We are strangers in this land. Their true home awaits one day, as long as they remain faithful and obedient to God. Once again, they had their sights set on something far better. When we look at some of Christ's teachings, when we look at Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19, of course, people know this text very well. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Already, sounds much better, right? When we look at this world and how it is temporary, I mean, the things that we have are temporary. One day, we will die. Unless Christ comes back, and our homes will no longer be our homes. Someone else will be living in those homes. My wife and I love to go to antique stores. And one day it dawned on me, as I was looking at some of these old pictures and seeing all of these different antiques, and I'm thinking, this used to belong to someone. This used to be in their homes. But now they're dead and gone. And I also wondered, I wonder if they were Christians, true Christians. But we see things are temporary. Things get stolen. Things get destroyed. I mean, Kentucky right now, it's mandatory. People have to leave their homes because of the flooding. And people are losing their homes. My parents told me that a house was floating down the river. Things are temporary. When we focus on earthly treasures, they won't last. But Christ goes on to tell them, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. These treasures in heaven, guess what? They can't be destroyed. They can't be stolen. Everything here is temporary. Why do you want something that is temporary? Why do you hold on to things that are temporary? There's no reason for it. Instead, we need to focus on what truly matters. One, am I right with God? And two, my focus should be wanting to get to a better home, my true home, which is in heaven. Once again, just from some of these texts that we see, it's beyond anything we can imagine. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 20, which we covered this morning, once again, Paul weeping, saying that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, Peter, all the apostles and all the disciples understood this. That's why they were willing to go and die for Christ, because they understood what he had in store for them was far better than anything they could have in this world. Paul's citizenship no longer belonged in Jerusalem. His citizenship is in heaven. And our citizenship, if we are Christians, if we have been saved and washed by the blood of Christ, is in heaven. Yet many still continue to hold on to this temporary world that's broken, that has nothing to offer us. When we look at Revelation 21:21, we see another part where John is trying to help people understand what he saw. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. A physical description of a spiritual home. Now, I know a lot of people, as I was growing up as a kid, I always was told, you know, you want to be able to walk on the golden road, the golden streets of heaven. Well, we need to understand that the way John was describing it was to help people, to help who he was writing to at this time, understand that heaven is worth it. It will be beyond beautiful, beyond anything you can imagine. We need to understand with the book of Revelation as well. It's a book full of symbols. It was a letter that had plenty of symbols. So is this literal? No. Because John, once again, being still in the flesh, our human minds, our physical minds, can't comprehend what it will be like. That's why when we look in like the book of Ezekiel, describing an angel, you're looking and you're thinking, my goodness, what does this angel look like, right? But once again, their minds cannot, Ezekiel's mind could not comprehend what this angel looked like. So he described it in a worldly manner to help people of the world, to help us who are living here in these physical bodies to understand and be able to comprehend just a little. So what will heaven be like? We'll have to find out one day. We will never know till that day comes. All we can do is see these small snippets of what heaven will be like and know that it is beyond anything we can imagine, and it's a place we want to be. We see so many dying for Christ, dying for truth, because they understand this is far better than anything I can hold on to in this world. And so comes the next question. Who will make it to heaven? Now, this is an obvious answer, of course, for us who are Christians. But we know that only those who are obedient, faithful and obedient to God and to His Word. You know, when you ask people, if you went on the streets today and said, and asked, do you want to go to heaven? What do you think the answer would be? Yeah, I want to go to heaven. But when you tell them what they need to do in order to get to heaven, that's where the problems begin. They want a free ride. They want to be able to live the way they want here in the present, the here and now, and be able to get to heaven. But that's not how it works. So many need to understand that we are called to be washed by the blood of Christ and to remain faithful and obedient the rest of our lives, living for Him daily. Because when we look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The writer here was encouraging the ones who were still faithful, hold fast to this promise. Hold fast to Christ, because it is only through Christ which one can have their sins washed away and get to the Father, get to heaven. In John 14, 6, Christ clearly says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's where people have to draw the line because they don't want to give up. We go to the rich young man that came to Christ and asked Christ, what must I do? Well, Christ tells him, well, you need to follow the commandments. Well, I've done that. Sell all that you have and come follow me. What was the result of that? The young man went away sorrowful. He chose temporary things of this world over following Christ. It's not easy. But is it worth it? Absolutely. I tell people, I would rather suffer now and have that eternal peace, have that reward that's waiting for those who remain faithful. James 1, 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. We see that those who endure temptation, for when he has been approved, what will he receive? The crown of life. So many, they want instant gratification. It comes down to desire. It comes down to wanting to fulfill your flesh with temporary things, temporary pleasure. And it's sad that we have many who have grown up, who have heard about heaven and how wonderful it will be, singing the songs. And yet, they choose to reject the truth, reject Christ, and remain in a lost state, in a sinful state. Going back to my comment earlier this morning, if people could look and see, have a sneak peek into heaven and into hell, there would still, sadly, be many who still reject Christ and the truth. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. John was writing to the Christians in Rome, and he's telling them, look, there's going to be persecution. Some of you will be put to death. I remember a picture one of my professors put up during class, and it was powerful. There is the Christians in the Colosseum in a circle praying, and lions were circling them. This is what would have been done. Some emperors treated Christians awful and what they would have done. And yet these Christians would remain faithful to Christ. And guess what? Time of their death, they were returned to their Father, and they are in paradise as we speak. They've escaped, have been delivered from this world. And now they are seeing things that we can only try to imagine. We must remain obedient. We must watch every day, be vigilant for Satan and the attempts that he tries to make towards us, to cause us, to pull us away from the truth, to pull us away from Christ. Because our goal this day should want to be to get to heaven. But when we look throughout Scripture, we are given snippets of what heaven will be like. And yet again, we can't comprehend. You can imagine all you want. But it will be 1,000 times better than what we can imagine. Remain vigilant. Remain faithful. Remain obedient. I pray and hope that those who are not Christians, I pray that one day, before it's too late, that you give your life to Christ. I don't want anyone to go to hell. That's not my desire. My desire is to see everyone hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. But sadly, there will be many who stand at the judgment seat of Christ and they hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. And face the second death, which will be far worse than the first. We are talking eternity. Here, time is limited. Time passes by. It doesn't wait on no one. So if you're not a Christian this evening, I pray that you open your heart and you receive this message and you decide to give your life to Christ this morning or this evening. Or if you are a Christian, once again, time is not on your side. Understand what you will be giving up if you continue in the sin that you struggle with. You're giving up everything for something temporary. Come forward. Renew your walk with Christ. Repent. And so for those who are not Christians, this is how you do it. You hear the word that has been preached to you, Romans 10:17. You believe that word, John 3:16-17. You repent of your sins, change one's mind, Acts 3:19. You confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10:10. But it doesn't stop there. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins. Like it says in Hebrews 13 there, washed the pure water. Washed by the blood of Christ, Galatians 3:26-27, Acts 2:38. But it doesn't stop there either. In order to get to heaven, we must remain faithful, Hebrews 10:23. We must endure temptations. We must overcome those temptations, but we're not alone in them. Those who are faithful have God on their side and lean upon Him and upon His great power. And He will help you. He will guide you every day. So if you're here this evening, you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.